Blog Talk Radio.
Down in Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina,
us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in calm ocean time must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze.
Once again, Friday night, it is the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, and we are here. Give us a hand. The Black Business Billionaires Network Club, so much going on in 2022, and just the beginning of 2022, in the second month. Going on the third month, but we're right in the second month of 2022, and we're in a war between Russia and the Ukraine. And that has a lot effects on society, affects the economics, it affects the business world, it affects the social world, it affects us all kinds of ways. There's so many rumors and things are being said about this war. It was more tremendous than what I thought about it. It happened so quickly. I heard them talk about it. I heard rumors about it. I heard the negotiations were going on, discussions going on, and you heard from the Secretary of Defense, the General Secretary. You heard from all of the people from NATO, all the people from the Pentagon. You know, you just had Joint Chiefs of Staff, the heads of Joint Chiefs of Staff, so many people discussing this war. And all of a sudden, bang, it was on. And it was on. It just snuck in there. I mean, if you really didn't hear somebody tell you that we were in war, you probably would not know. The news did not respond to it as quickly as they could have because they wasn't sure that there was actually a war going on. But now we're sure there's a war. Bombs have been exchanged. Gunfire has been exchanged. There have been people hurt on the ground. Many, many, many thousands of people have been hurt. Thousands of soldiers from the Ukraine, thousands, hundreds of soldiers from Russia have been hurt and killed. And it is on and popping, like the young people say. It is a war, y'all. It's a war. They're talking about, you know, the finances get tight at this time. Banks close down on all types of loans. You're going to find that the mortgage industry is going to close down. Financing industry, financing businesses, everything going to start to slow down when we're in a situation like this. So get ready, get ready, get ready. It is here. We're going to have some military people, some retired people from the military going to call in and give us the 411 on their feelings about this war and the complications of it, the results of it, and how it got started. So the Black Business Billionaires question today is the new era in business. Are we ready as a people? Are we ready to take back Black Wall Street? Are we ready to rebuild Black Wall Street? Are we ready and are we responsible? Are we responsible? Are we actually responsible for building back and building better, a.k.a. what Biden said his new concept is, building back, building better? Are we responsible to build back and build better Black Wall Street? That's the question today. And are we in control? Are we in control? Are we in control? Are we in control? This is the question today at the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. And we welcome you, sir, you, ma'am. We welcome our military people who's going to call in. And we're going to discuss all of that which is happening now. We're going to have a big discussion about it. And we want to truly get started on this right now, right now, right now, right now. We want to get started. We want to get started. We want to get started. And we're going to take a little break right here. We're going to take a little commercial break and listen to something from our sponsors.
We live in dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonr38.wearelegalshield.com.
And we are back. We are back to Black Business Billionaires Network Club. And today's question is building black, building back the Black Wall Street in this business, in this new era of business. It's a whole new era of business. There's a whole new type of business. There's a whole new economic structure. The government has changed the way it has been, and we are here in it. And are we ready? And are we responsible to rebuild Black Wall Street? And are we in control? Subsequent questions. Are we in control? And can we handle this? Can we get this done? Can we really rebuild Black Wall Street? And I believe a man is on right now. I'm trying to remember his number. I haven't seen the moment here. But 917-667, I believe that's Mr. Herb Clemens. We're going to bring him in. He actually is involved in Atlanta, Georgia, and they have rebuilt a Black Wall Street there. And, you know, that is extremely interesting. you know, that we're talking about that subject matter today and our responsibilities as well. And so we're going to bring him in here. Let's get this technology, something people, when it's live and real and in your face, is the whole thing. We're going to give him a nice hand right here, like being a network club. Mr. Herb Clements, are you there?
Front and center.
Good to have you on. Good to have you on. It's ironic that you're on. Question tonight is about, are we ready in this new era of business that we are in, this new society, this new structure? It's international. It's not just, you know, America alone. It spreads out to Africa, Europe, and the Caribbean and Asia. Are we ready to rebuild Black Wall Street is the question, and are we in control is one of the other parts of the questions as well.
Well, it's a great question. It's a great subject matter as well. For those who don't know, on the audience now, there was a gentleman here in Georgia, Stonecrest, Georgia, ran one of the federal agencies some time ago, but we had an old Sam's Club there vacant for about 7 years. And so roughly about close to 6-7 months ago, he not only bought the building, but he turned it into the first Black Wall Street in terms of doing business amongst our people. And what has happened, and this has been a phenomenal, and the fact that he just started, so what he did initially was just open from Wednesday through Sunday. And so in the next 2 months, they'll be open 7 days a week. It's probably to 125, if not more, vendors that are in there. Tomorrow they're going to open their first jazz club built inside of it. They got two major clubs that they built inside within this structure, and on two floors. And so one of the gentlemen who are hosting the first Black comedy, he's very renowned in Georgia on the comedy end, but he sold out two shows. He sold out two shows in 4 days. He has a two o'clock in the afternoon show for seniors, and then he has a 7 o'clock show for just, you know, regular age people. And the show just sold out when they heard where it was going to be located. So he's the first person that's going to use this particular facility built inside the Black Wall Street. It's been a lot of talk about the various venues there. 70% of the vendors come from New Birth Church. Literally, 70%. So the pastor of that church, Jamal Bryant, out of Maryland, who left his church to pastor New Birth, was able to vocalize what was going on, and literally 70% of the vendors in the church in that facility is from New Birth Church, which is, you know, says a lot about his credibility and his vision. So he was obviously very supportive of the facility, and it's still growing. The place is still growing. You got visitors that are coming there, you know, by the busloads just to take a look at it as a venue. But I'm in a process now, Ron. I'm so glad, Ron, I called in. I'm in the process now of having the largest African American church in New York pastor come down shortly to take a look at the venue, because we need one of these in every city, not every major city, every city. We need one of these because it symbolizes where we've been, and where we are and where we're going. And so it's been such a revitalization of exposure, not only for the vendors, but just our people at large, and knowing that this is something that we not only can create, but we can control it. And so you've got all these black dollars that are being spent right there amongst the people, and it's just a great experience. To see your people, I mean, the support has been such a phenomenal, and to add on to that, he's building a 3,000-unit apartment complex. He owns about 400 acres right near the facility, so he's building 3,000 high-end. He's building 3,000 high-end units. They're going to start that project in the next couple of months. But the visitors are all over, just coming in and just spending time and seeing the facility, the different vendors there. And last week they had what they call a wine and liqueur taste. And they had every name major liquor facility owner was there in terms of brand, just showcasing the new different flavors that the liqueur is coming out. And it's growing. It's growing. Notoriety is growing, and for me, I'm just trying to get the word out in other cities and other, you know, to take hold of this, because visibility is important for our people. It's really important for them to see that somebody's doing. And once that site is, you know, it gives everybody an opportunity. Sometimes you get self motivated by knowing if he can do it, why can't I? Or at least why can't I at least consider uniting with other people? Because it doesn't have to be something that, you know, obviously you can do on your own. You can get the right people with the right mindset and come together as a group, which is what I did about 20 years ago. I had an investment club with 20 different people, and we used to contribute $100 a month. We wind up owning several restaurants, a nightclub, it's nothing you cannot do when you have a made-up mind of the same people that's on the same page at the same time with the same goal.
Wow. Interesting. We got, I got a text message, and the reason I'm bringing it up because this young lady brings up a very interesting question. And this is Mrs. Margarita Brunson from St. Petersburg, Virginia, and she's an associate professor at the university there. And she's saying, are we 100% responsible to rebuild Black Wall Street without governmental intervention, support, or, you know, whatever, since how things happen? In terms of the events that made Black Wall Street, those who burnt it down and those who tore it up, and you know that whole event. So she's saying, should we take it upon ourselves to rebuild it without, having some governmental support?
Well, I that's, you know, I'm looking, you know, hearing that question. First of all, our people very seldom get government support for anything. I mean, in terms of commerce, you can go down to the SBA and a few other, but 99% of what we do as a people usually come from our family and friends and those who believe in the mission statement that we were given, and what you actually as a and what you plan on doing. I mean, most of us is basically is self-financed. You still get some red line with some of the banks in terms of funding. But now what's happening because of our visibility in the marketplace, all these funders, all these banks now are climbing down and exposing and want to now look to partner and to look at the clientele, especially the because know that we're not only a force to be reckoned with, but our people spend money. It's unfortunate because, 37% of our income is on our backs. you know. Go ahead, Ron.
Okay, we have John Robertson from Maryland, and he wants to know, is it possible some states have a, you know, large population of black folk who have commerce, you know, they have some
right.
revenue, they have access,
right.
but there
right.
are a lot of states that don't have a bunch of black people. Are they able to establish a Black Wall Street in those types of places?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. What I'm trying to do now is to convince the gentleman to actually to spearhead a Facebook Live event where he could actually share, you know, the concept, because right now we're getting a lot of feedback throughout different parts of the country. And even in Georgia, because he's only in, you know, Stonecrest, Georgia, you still got the major hubs that are there, you know, Savannah. I mean, there's just the opportunity is unbelievable, because one thing I know about our people, we spend money. We shop.
Amen. Amen.
You know, and this venue is, again, a bakery. You got two or three bakeries in there. You've got food, seafood. I mean, And there's some sisters in there, three sisters called the Wilborn Sisters, who are custom tailors. And the design that they came up for women's clothing is so phenomenal. They are selling out. They just did a fashion show last week that blew the place apart. But she's using African garb and design, and the stuff she can't keep. I mean, this is all custom. And the stuff that she's
wow.
selling off the rack, she can't, I mean, it's amazing. She owns a major boutique in downtown Atlanta and one in L.A. But this Black Wall Street environment, for her getting exposed, she's just doing such a phenomenal job, her and her sisters. And I was never an artwork person, but the artists that are down there that are selling their paintings and artifacts is just going through the roof. I mean, it is unbelievable.
Wow.
So I'm ecstatic. I guess you guys can tell, but, you know, being in business for 37 years, I own my own private equity firm. I'm just so elated and to see movement and exposure, because it not only hope, it lets you know that, hey, person can do it, another can do it. You know,
right.
and money doesn't have to be the situation where it becomes a problem. You know, there's just a vast network out of financing that are chasing black dollars. And if you've got the right if you've got the right product or concept, you know, it isn't what it used to be in terms of having access to funds. You know, but Ron, you're doing a great job with exposing different talent and different people in terms of what you're doing, just with the show. And so I happen to see your text, and, you know, because I was getting ready to do something, I said, no, I gotta call in, you know, because we've got a lot of years that we've got time in. It's gotta be close to 30-40 years that we've known each other.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, definitely, definitely. At least that, you know, you know, at least that. And, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and when he organized something, you know that it's his timing, and it's always perfect, you know. You know, we want things done, but God has the perfect timing. There's actually another question here from Marvin Livingston, Nevada, Arizona, and he wants to know, in terms of, you know, it wasn't well received back in the days, and we know that, you know, it was more
right.
severe racism
right.
back then, but
right.
He wants to know how much are we protected to make sure that event doesn't happen again. Maybe not so much, he's not talking so much about the aggressiveness and the violence, but just people have ways of violating certain things that you have established through laws and whatnot. I don't think you heard me. I think I lost you. Yeah. Okay, so we lost Mr. Herb Clemens, who is in Atlanta, Georgia, where they are rebuilding Black Wall Street. They have a tremendous opportunity down there. They have a big, huge 400 to 500 acres of land there, business, malls, where stores and Black businesses are coming together. And, you know, they're bringing all their wares and whatnot. And it is just a tremendous, tremendous undertaking. And I think it's just a blessing. And I feel that we can be a blessing to the development of it by supporting it. You know, people are traveling now. People are going down south. And I know a lot of people are going to Georgia. Georgia is the mecca and the hub for economics in the Black community, for history as well. You know, there's some tremendous things going on down there, especially the Senate race down there right now. Also, the young lady there, Stacey Abrams, and her bid for the governorship. There's so many tremendous things happening in that area as well. And, you know, so many big things happening. And while we're on the subject matter, we have Dr. Ben Bridges with us. You know, he'll be on tomorrow 7 to 9. Talking about spiritual unity and meditation, and you know, all of that's a part of who you are as a person. Your spiritual, your natural, your mental, your economical, your business, all that needs to work in cohesiveness together. And we're going to get some of his ideas on what he feels about Black Wall Street being built back in Georgia. They got a big tremendous mall on there. They're building back the Black Wall Street concept, and they want to take it all across the country. And so the question today is, in terms of Black Wall Street, are we ready? Are we in control? And are we 100% responsible? You know, should government step in and support our endeavors? We're going to have Dr. Benjamin Bridges come in and give some of his thoughts.
All right. Thank you, my brother. And peace and blessings to everyone. And yes, I think Black Wall Street, you know, as it was back in the day when it was up and running, it was very powerful and very helpful. Matter of fact, you know, back at that time, you had a situation where the economy was down, the Black Wall Street and Black people that were involved with that. And there was several different, you know, programs back at that time in different parts of the country. But basically, they were really financially doing great, you know, and I was really sorry to hear about the fact that, you know, the jealousy of seeing them doing so great, where you had folks that were in poverty outside of our community, and they were looking at them driving around in nice cars and everything, and they were upset with them. So they tried to shut down Black Wall Street at that time. And they were successful, unfortunately, in shutting it down. But one of the things that, like, right now, which is really great with the brother that was just on just a little while ago, and basically he's in Atlanta, and he's, you know, coming together with people and trying to bring them together economically and supplying, you know, different economic opportunities that are available. And the thing about it, like, and even he had said, you know, if you can come forth with a business opportunity that works, that can really make some serious money for people and pull them out of poverty and financial difficulty, then that's a good thing. And that could be a part of a program that you, you know, add into the situation. And once we start to come together in unity, even more so economically, I think that's going to really be really powerful, because as we come together with these different business programs that can really work to help people, then basically we can all collateralize together and work together and bringing our people into it and helping our people come out of poverty and really help our people, you know, come up on to the mountaintop of success, where they'll be able to achieve their very best. And that's what it's really all about, being able to really be successful. and to also the other side of it, which is important too, is changing the mindset. Because, like I said, unfortunately, when you have a system that wants to keep you thinking that you'll never come out of poverty, that whatever you're going to try is a waste of time, it'll never work. And, you know, if you buy into that, then basically that is what's going to happen to you. But if you can free yourself from thinking in that negative mindset and start to see yourself as being a worthy Black person that is definitely worthy of achieving great financial success for themselves and for their family and for the community, then that's when you can really start to change your situation. But instead of seeing Black Wall Street and other Black organizations and opportunities that are out there as just being a waste of time, you have to come out of that mindset and see this as a great opportunity. But that's what it really is. A great opportunity that can spread around the country in different communities of ours and can uplift our people. But you got to come out of the mindset that this can't work, because it can work and it can be something that can be a serious game changer for our people. But we have to see it, believe it in order to receive the blessing that comes with it. And once we start to really keep our mind up on high and seeing things from a positive perspective, that's when these positive opportunities will really start to come our way. So all I can say to you right now is definitely this can be a serious game changer for our community. And like I said, keep your mind up on high. Keep thinking and knowing that these are things that can definitely be a serious opportunity for us to economically change our lifestyles and our community lifestyle. But we just have to really believe it in order for us to receive it. So with that being said, again, peace and blessings to everyone. And I'm very thankful that... Okay. Go ahead. All right, we'll let him come on then. Oh, he's on now? Okay, Herb, if you had any questions, you know, with what has been spoken on thus far, definitely feel free to move forward with it.
Oh, no, what happened, my call dropped. My phone had died. I didn't realize I've been on it all day. And so I just was able to get back. So I really just came back on. Unfortunately, I didn't hear you. But it's only been a minute. I pretty much said what I had to say and share, and just try to expose what's going on throughout the diaspora and our community, and the opportunity that's out here for all of us, for those who want to put a big foot forward and galvanize. And the more I think about this, you know, I remember I had an investment club, and we started out just putting, it was 25, but we just put $100 a month in, and wine and owning several restaurants, a club out in Brooklyn. And so it's nothing that we cannot do when we come together as a unit, and stop thinking about, the big chiefs and the little Indians at the end of the day. Somebody always got to lead, but you also got to be a great follower and have a teachable spirit. So I'm just totally ecstatic about Brother Ron, knowing him for so many decades, and I just happened to pull the phone up and catch that just realized that he had this event happening this evening, and so I'm it wasn't no accident that I seen it. So. You know, I'm like I said again, just like anybody else, I'm open to hear. Despite my age, just turned 70, still do 5 miles a day in 35 minutes, 7 days a week, been doing that for 37 years, don't miss a day, rain, sleet, or storm. But it's great to be amongst like minds. Because you guys are just motivating me, because we're taking some things to another level, because we're going to Africa in 2 weeks, to engage some things there doing the same thing. But, you know, it's a great platform for us to share.
Yeah, I thank you so much. And Dr. Binyamin Bridges has been working with developing community centers throughout the inner cities and urban cities where there's high level of poverty, drugs, and alcoholism, and getting them people in positive mindset, spirituality, and meditation, and getting them to exercise and getting them into, you know, better food and better thoughts of careers and things that they can do. And so I see it as a coming together, the Black Wall Street concept of the community centers that would help and house young people into a system and continuing their goals and directing them. All that stuff, to me, all works together, and it all works together, and it all helps us move forward. And so, you know, it's just a blessing, you know, how God put people around you like-minded that we come together at times like this. And I was saying in the beginning of the show that there's a new era of business happening now. You know, Black Wall Street is going to be one of the catalysts of change in business, but there's a new era going around the whole country and the world of how people do business, because it's universal. It's not just the state, the city, the local community no more. It's international business. And as we grow the Black Wall Street, that gives us more opportunity to reach out to our sisters and brothers in the diaspora, Africa and the Caribbean, who have goods and services and products that we can bring here to sell, because I get the products now from Africa and that I've been using and selling and some natural juices and stuff like that that are good for your health. So it's so important.
You want to tell the people to mute their phone, because you get a lot of feedback, so let the people mute their phone.
Yeah. Let me set that up. Yeah, okay. We shot that. We got that straight now. Okay, great. So, you know, it's just a matter of the economics has always been one of the crucial and important things. And I always said to people that one of the major issues in the Black community is economics, sustaining economics, controlling economics, having economics for oneself. When you are financially independent, that's when you start to really experience freedom. As far as, you know.
You're breaking up, Ron.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying that one major issue in the Black community and certain marginalized communities is controlling their financing, being self-sufficient, independent, and sovereign, whatever you want to be. You have to have some finances to go with that. That's so important. You know, that old saying, romance without finance is a nuisance. You know? So that goes along with, you know, society in itself. You know what I'm saying? It's all about having self-sufficiency. A child, when he becomes independent, he gets his own apartment, his own clothes, his own job, you know, his own car. That's his growing up. You know, that's his passage to freedom, you know, and his independence. And that goes with everything, you know, society and whatever you're dealing with. You become independent of people, countries. So many countries now are breaking away from the colonialistic countries and the imperialistic
right.
countries, and they become independent.
Right.
And one of the things that one of their major problems is they don't have economic stability. You know, so they rely back on those imperialists and those colonialistic methods to keep alive. And so they go back to, you know, though that they call themselves sovereign and free or whatever, they still they're impeding on their sovereignty and their rights and their freedom by the fact that they're controlling their resources and they're controlling their finances. And if they decided to cut off the biblical cord, they would not be able to survive. So, you know, from that, it just shows me that the Black Wall Street is so crucial. It's a model for the world. And as you travel to the Caribbean and Africa, one of the things that people say to me is that we're looking, you know, we're looking to the north. We're looking to North America. We're looking to
you're fading out,
our brothers. Oh, okay. Wow, wow. Technology's heavy tonight, huh? you know, when you travel to Africa and the Caribbean and other countries where people of color, they always tell you that they're looking at, you know, people of color in America and seeing what, you know, what methodology that they're using to move themselves forward. So it's such a crucial, important time right now for all of us. And so Black Wall Street can be that catalyst. It can be that model. It can be that ideological, systemic connection to our brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora that we can bring in resources and we can bring in their products and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we can exchange and we can build businesses internationally. So I see that as such a really important process, you know, that it becomes successful. It becomes a successful model for us.
You know, I volunteer on Tuesday at a food pantry for about, you know, close to 9 hours on a Tuesday. That's, you know, I'm always a community person, and I was sharing the concept in the building, and one of the sisters just like went off. Like, I've been down there, and I mean, I've never heard so much negative stuff about our folks from this young lady. Now, this is a food pantry. So this is the food pantry. So I ain't seen this lady in about 2 months, you know. So the only time she shows up is when she wants food. You know, she started out as a volunteer, you know, so I just listen, you know, because she just ran it on. So when she finished, I asked a question. Can I ask you, honey, what are you doing? Tell me, what are you doing that we can support? And so then you have no answer. You have nothing. You have nothing to say concerning yourself in terms of your own productivity. But here it is, you're criticizing something that, I mean, unfortunately, we should be celebrating. You know, but it was just it just left a little sour taste in my mouth. I didn't want to jump order, but it I'm like, you know, sis, this is visibility for us is important, you know, to see each other and see us actually, you know, develop something at this magnitude, because it lets you know if one person can do it, anybody can do it, you know.
Right.
And the way he set this thing up, he literally coined the name, so he's already, you know, he already copyrighted and everything. So, you know, all he's looking to do is to expose the concept and hope motivate people that can that would consider, whether they are a group or whether they're an individual, to come together. Because one thing about our people, we spend money. But we spend money, you know, and if you're going to do that, you know, what's the harm in spending it amongst your own people? Because that's how you become, eventually, you know, being self-sufficient, but you want to be self-supported with your people.
Right. And you got to learn somewhere. You know, I was saying to somebody, you know, the gross national product, the GDP, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We contribute more than anyone in this country, and we are the least, the last, the left outs, if you want to, if you will. And I was telling somebody, BMW. I remember probably about 5-10 years ago. I can't remember exact timing, but they in terms of their overall sales were down. Their stock was down. They were looking very grim for them. Mercedes was beating them like Michael Jordan with a basketball to a little kid. And they were just totally out. And then you started seeing this tremendous amount of Black people start to purchase BMWs, whether it's a project, whether it's the upper middle, lower classes. And I don't know if you remember, but their stock went up. above and beyond Mercedes-Benz, their sales went up, okay?
Right.
And so, and I was saying to people, BMW, Mercedes do have a mechanical program that they implement with the black colleges and universities that
right.
they try to get the,
right.
this, you know, the kids to come in and work for their corporation. BMW does nothing for the black community. Nada, zero, zip. You know, they have no community intervention. Their public relations departments do nothing in the black community. Even you see some of these companies, like now this is Black History Month, you see a few companies come out and they say, oh, you know, we're doing this, that, and the other, you know, to kind of look good. BMW, you never see them come out and say anything. And I say, people, you know, you, these are the things that we need to be aware of as being good consumers. We need to, you know, let, hey, guys, wake up. We know what's going on here. You know, we see your non-support, you know what I'm saying, which have to change, you know. And we got to be aware of these things. And that's what you're saying. Putting, the Bible says, sow your seed on good ground so you can get a good harvest. And we have to sow our seeds and spend our, which is our money, in good places so we can get a good harvest back for our communities and for the needs of our people. And so,
yeah,
to me, that's being a good consumer, when you support those who support you. You know what I'm saying? That's
right,
that's a
right.
person that's mindful of their spending. And, you know, and I'm not saying go out there and buy all these expensive things, because you shouldn't. If you ain't got it like that, you know, I know a lot of people
right.
say take it. I mean, in America, they say take it until you make it. But you can only take it for so much until you don't exhaust yourself with overwhelming debt, you know. So I don't know how much you can't fake debt. I told a young guy at times, you can't fake debt. You can fake everything else, brother, but that debt, you can't fake it. You know what I'm saying? That's going to consume
well,
you. So,
well, it, you
yes.
have to determine between good debt and bad debt, you know. And so I use debt, and I'm saying this because, you know, one thing I don't use my own money. You know, I got interest in, you know, about 7 or 8 different entities, and I don't use my own money, you know. And,
wow.
And one of the things you have to keep in mind, your interest, a lot of that stuff when you borrow money, interest is tax deductible. So you have to look at some things and work. You know, one thing about math, it's an exact science. I said, so when, you, when you're looking at any venture or any business, because at the end of the day, you ask yourself, if I do run out of money, then you've got to ask yourself, do I have the capability to borrow? Because
right.
now you're in a situation that now you got to prove to them that, one, that I've got something that's viable, that's progressive. I've got a commodity that people are buying. But, you know, I've learned OPM, other people's money, and the banks are there. For, I mean, fortunately, we are in a prime time right now for small businesses to borrow money. I mean, you have an EIA number, and I mean, every bank, because they're looking to prop up the infrastructure in terms of the business, especially with this COVID-19. You know, I've got two friends, they're bankers, and I can't believe the protocol they've been given to lend money, a certain sum of money, just to want to keep the people, because their thing is also employment. You can't employ anybody with no money, you know.
Exactly.
So it's a caveat here what we're dealing with right now. But you know, the worst thing you could be is have something that's working for you and you run out of money, and you
there
don't
you
have
go.
No place to go borrow money, and they right. give you money when you don't need it. And when you need it, you have a problem, you know,
you
which
go.
Is why I set up an investment club, you know, 30-something years ago, because I know, you know, we had companies come to us, small black businesses, and we lent them money, $25,000, $15,000. I mean, people would be surprised, and we've never had a loan that was not repaid. And so we had a small equity in the business. And we had, you know, we had funds being repaid at a certain interest rate that was fair and equitable. But at the end of the day, when you have a collective body, you can do such things. And we only did that at $100 a month at 25 people wind up owning two major spots, one in Brooklyn and another one in Manhattan. I mean, it's nothing that we can't do when you have like-minded people. And throw the ego out of the window, and play to everybody's gift. Everybody have a gift, talent, and ability. We can't be all things to all people, one person. So once you know your role and what you've been gifted at, that's it. You know, I'm not a chef. That's something I don't. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I can cook, but I'm not a chef. So,
right.
You know, knowing your gift and talent and abilities, you know, that's why the word says your gift will make room for you. Your gift will make
Amen.
Room for you.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, one thing I tell people about us as a people, black people, African-Americans, whatever you want, you know, whatever you term yourself these days, we're gonna make it. We're innovative. We're creative.
Right.
We are forceful people. And I tell people all the time, I say, you know something? Black people are going to make it. And most of the time, it's unfortunate, we make it by ourselves, if you will. You find most successful people, you know, they find success by themselves, which is not a good thing. It's good to have a collective effort. It makes, you know, and Jamaica has a saying, many hands make work light, you know what I'm saying? So even though you're by yourself and you're successful, I had a Korean partner in the car business in Connecticut, and he kept wanting to do everything. And I said, geez, guy, why are you doing everything when you got these people over here? He said, because I do by myself. I make more money for me. I make all the money, you know? and it made no sense to me, but you know. You know, he's so, and I would watch this guy just try to do everything, he was messing up, he was making more mess than he was doing anything else, you know what I'm saying? But that's the nature of the beast, you know, but we as a people, we are very successful. There's not a day, I tell people, you can look at post, past, and present slavery concept. Black people have been successful. And they're going to continue to be successful. It's learning the collective effort, the group effort,
absolutely,
working together. That's where we missed the boat. You know,
yes,
we missed the boat,
yes,
on that one. And once we can get that organized, we can definitely have a tremendous economic force. Our brother from Africa was telling me. He says, "Listen, man," he said, "in Africa, in the Caribbean, people are ready for, you know, Pan-Africanism. They're ready for unification, you know, maybe not in the largest numbers that we expect. But if enough of us get together and be successful, when people see something good, they want to be a part of that." You know what I'm saying? And that's what we have to do, put a good effort forward and be good at that, and people shall come. People shall follow us. Once we show people that this is successful. And it's all, but the Bible says, together we stand, divided you fall, and the power is in unity, you know. So we can be very effective together, bring those creativities together. But I think we've been doing it so long individually that we have a little stigma, you know.
I think you have to have a collective body. Yeah, you're right, yeah. Ron. I think we need a collective body. And it's funny you mentioned Africa, and this is amazing. I had a group of gentlemen came over from South Africa about 2 years ago, spent about 4 days with me. People would be shocked. There's not one African-owned bank in South Africa.
Wow.
Not one.
Wow.
Not one.
Wow.
77% of the population. And they control seven, and so there's a lot of work that we've got to do, both here and overseas. But it's amazing when you get the stats of because you got to have access to money, you know, the bottom line.
Right.
But the other side is also doing things collectively. You know, I don't have to be a toy manufacturer or have anything. But guess what? If you give me a proposal and you show me how you're going to be profitable, I'm apt to invest in your venture. You know,
right.
It's a numbers game and it's a leadership game, you know, but and one thing about it, we spend money. If it's nothing we do, we spend money.
You got that right. And we're not going to stop spending money. And you know something? That's that we do it in larger number, but that is just the American way, if I may say that. That's the American way, you know, because just structured around spending money, and people can try to be frugal, they can try to be economically stable or controlling, but it's a country where money will be exchanged. Money will be spent from the lowest of those in the denomination of economics to the highest of those in the denomination of economics. It was said, and you said mathematics is a science, which is true, but it was said many, many times in America, if you make $100,000 a year, you live in $250,000. I don't know what it is. And people have tried. People have tried to, you know, say, I make X amount. I'm going to try to live, you know, a marginal lifestyle. But, you know, it's very, very difficult, you know, very difficult. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, so we're going to bring on Dr. Benjamin Bridges as well. He has some things there.
Yes, indeed. Peace and blessings, everyone, once again. And, you know, it's true, you know, in regards to the spending of the money, because, you know, when you just keep spending money and keep spending it, and, you know, you buy the necessary things that you want to buy, but at the same time, you know, what happens, and basically because in our community, we have not been taught that a portion of your money, and it doesn't have to be half your money or three quarters of your money. It could be something like 5% or just 10%. But you take
right.
a portion of that money and you invest it into things that can make money for you. And that's a very important part that has been left out that, you know, we don't really deal with. You know, we get money and we're like, no, I don't want to invest no money. I want to go to the movies tonight, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. You know, I want to go out to eat and this, that, and the other. So we invest in things that we want, that we feel comfortable with, whether it's buying a car or, you know, going out and getting, you know, expensive clothes and all these kind of things, right? But we could cut down on some of that and utilize a portion of that money to invest money. And by doing that, what can happen is we can create a number of different, you know, streams of income that could come in and really help us financially in a great way. So investing in different investment programs can also be something that can be a serious game changer for us. But these are things that we have to start to look at. Not just spending the money just to spend it, but to utilize it in some positive and smart way so that we can make money off of the money that we invested, double it, triple it, quadruple it, sometimes even millionize it. But the bottom line is that, you know, you just have to find the right programs, investment programs to deal with. And there are black investment programs that are out there where you can go and get involved with this, and people can coach you and show you how to take that amount of money. It doesn't always have to be $50,000, $30,000, $20,000, $200,000,
right.
stuff like that. It could be as much as just $100. It could be as much as $200 or $300 or $500. And with that kind of money, you know, I know for some people, you know, $500 might be a bit much, but even if you put up just $100 or $200 into an investment and you know that you're going to get double or quadruple that money back in about 2 weeks' time or in a month's time, then that's worthwhile investing. And then from there, once you get that money, then you can take a portion of that money and invest even more into it and make even more money. So these are things that we just need to really come to grips with and say, hey, that wouldn't be a bad idea, because if I could double my income or triple my income by investing money, whether it's into stock, into real estate, cryptocurrency, other things that are out there that are very good investments, that you have people that can take you by the hand and show you and guide you how you can actually utilize that money, that would be a good thing.
And it's funny you said that. I mean, it's, you're right on point. And one of the things you said in terms of the cryptocurrency, because we have a sister in Virginia who next month will be, she will be the first black woman that has her own cryptocurrency exchange. I don't know if you heard about this, but El Salvador, the country, wants to make crypto their national currency. And no, it's not a currency, but this is something that these poor countries in El Salvador, and I was shocked, because it just was the other day that I heard the their economic guy speak, and because they recognize the acceptance of crypto, and knowing that there's so many other Ethereum currency, I mean, stuff out here now, that you're not locked in. You just have to do your research. You have to know the company that you're dealing with, who's in leadership, and their track record. But it's been a game changer. It is a game changer, and it ain't going nowhere.
There you go. And a lot of people are in the cryptocurrency. A lot of people are walking away with not just, you know, a few hundred dollars or just a few thousand. Some people are making hundreds of thousands, and some people even making millions of dollars in cryptocurrency right now.
Yeah.
So these are things that we really should start to, you know, experience and try to get involved with. And it's good to speak with people like your sister, you said, and, you know, I know a brother by the name of Frank Hines. He's into it as well, and he's a brother that deals with cryptocurrency also. And these are things that once we start to get involved with, and like I said, it doesn't have to be a huge amount or half of your, you know, weekly or monthly income. It could be a small portion, but the bottom line is you take that money, you invest it wisely, and you get a huge payment back in your hand. And that's the way it should be, instead of just taking it and spending it. And then at the end of the month, if you got 3 cents in your pocket, you're lucky, you know. And it shouldn't be no situation like that if you do investment. But again, our community really wasn't taught or geared towards doing investment. We just became big folks that like to spend money on, you know, just things that we like to get, you know, whether it's clothes, whether it's going to the movie, going to a restaurant, you know, different things. And nothing wrong with that. And it's not like if you do that, you're supposed to get 10 to 20 years in jail for doing that. That's nothing like that at all. But it's just using your money wisely makes a huge difference on what you can do with your money. And that's what is very important. But anyway, yes, indeed, my brother. I'm glad that we had a chance to speak on this. And this is something that we also need to share with our people, that even though you may not be a millionaire now, you can still invest money and possibly become a millionaire from investing that small amount of money into different programs.
Yeah, no, 100% thing. One thing about math, it's an exact science. So it just becomes a question, and it's about frequency, the frequency of your investment and the consistency, you know, because it will rain. You will have a rainy day. The question is, are you prepared for that rainy day? Because the other alternative, if you either have some good relatives or some good friends that are in a position to help you in those times of need, but when you're putting money away, it's sight unseen. You don't see it, but you do it long enough and frequent enough, you build up a pretty good nest egg. And it doesn't take a lot of money. And, I mean, I just think about, like I said, again, when we had our investment group, we were doing $100 a month. It was amazing how quick we accumulated $25,000, $30,000. I mean, it took no time. But the key is consistency. You know, come rain or shine, hell or high water, you know that, hey, every week, every 2 weeks, this number is going into this account regardless. You know, I may have to, you know, cut out eating out, you know, a couple of days a week or whatever. But, you know, it's like, you know, again, it's just it's time management and money management.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, everything is with timing and learning and experiencing. And I think most Americans know now, and we got so many MLM programs, home-based businesses, et cetera. People are doing SUSUs and some kind of, and now it's computerized or online or something like that. And, you know, it took it on a whole nother perspective in terms of how we see money and how we gravitate towards money and how we use money. So most of some of the most marginalized communities, the most economically deprived or economically striving communities are learning to come together with their resources and everything. And they're learning, you know, how to put together their monies and take it into a hole and invest it and turn it over. You know, sometimes it's a very small provision of products and services. But it's a beginning. You know, it's a beginning because people have to start at some level. You know, everybody's not, you know, sophisticated investors and traders and things of that sort. So, you know, they start at that level and they grow. You know, and I see more people now, which is wonderful, teaching their kids, their young kids, you know, 4 or 5 years old, about money and investing and the value of money, you know, which is one thing that a lot of people have not been exposed to in the younger years, you know, the value of money, you know, what is a dollar and how much a dollar can spend, how much a dollar can't spend, and, you know, you spend this much and what you're supposed to get back. And so it's wonderful. A lot of people have classes and courses where young people, and I'm talking about very young people, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, can learn about money itself and investing and starting a business. There's a friend of mine's, all of his children, 4 sons, I think the oldest is 19 or something, and the youngest is about 10, and they all have a business. You know, even the 10-year-old kid has a little small business where he's making money, you know, each one of them. You know, and I'm telling him, I say, wow, man, and his wife and him are investors, very sophisticated investment firm, but they have a provision for children, and they start up with their own kids. And now their kids are exposing other kids to different businesses and opportunities to make, you know, to turn your money over, invest your money, and you know, they're educating. It's our community, so it's so important. You know, that this happens. And children now, there's a kid, I think, 14-year-old kid, he at 10 years old told his mother at 14, I'm going to retire you and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have all these employees and whatnot. And he had affirmations that he would say to himself every day. And he took on the clothing, sport clothing industry. And, you know, being a young kid going to barbershop selling his wares, and people, like, you know, people got involved in his business and say, yeah, talk like this and do this, you know. And people introduced him to Puff Daddy, who's the artist there, the rapper, Puff Daddy Combs, and Sean Combs. And, you know, he invested in this young man, and this young man took his business over the top and became a man at 14 years old, definitely retired his mother, like he said he would, you know. And so, you know, it can be done. And this kid's coming from, his mother was a nurse, I believe. And, you know, he's coming from a, you know, a single parent home. So, you know, the money's not flowing like that, but he had a desire to do something. He stuck with it. I tell my children all the time, you have to do something. You have to stick with it. And you can't let nobody divert you from your goals. You have to stick with
right.
your goals. Every dollar of what happens, whether it's, you know, heat, hot water, you know, no hot water, no heat, is it cold? Or, you got to stick with your goals. You have to stick with them. And it pays off. It's tough, but it pays off in the end.
I think you got a great point. You're right, Ron. And the best point you said is really getting our young people started as early an age as possible, because all of that stuff becomes habitual. You become habitual spender, just like you can become an habitual saver, an investor. You know, because consistency has a lot to do with it. And then you know, if you're exposed, like for me, I had 11 sisters and brothers, but my mother was a genius, you know.
Wow.
And actually, you know, at 16, she ran actually one of my businesses. I mean, just an awesome situation. But it's a necessity. If you really not only, you know, it's one thing being able to sustain yourself, it's another thing being able to thrive, you know, which gives
you
another opportunity to help other people, to give to situations and circumstances. And there's freedom with that, you know.
I was just fortunate.
I had a mother that she pushed it. You know, and I'm like, okay, you know, but you need to surround yourself with those types of people who, first of all, they're encouragers, and they're vested in your future, you know.
Right.
And everybody needs a mentor, you know, which is another thing,
right.
is having a mentor or somebody that's already done it. Or is already in the middle and at least got out of the gate and go from there. But these young people today, I mean, technology is in – that's their world, man. This whole technology thing, this is their world. They're coming out of the womb knowing this stuff,
it's
just fascinating. I mean, it's fascinating because that is what is controlling – everything is this technology, you know.
And
I'm listening to some of my friends and their parents, and their parents have to call. They have to call the grandkid to come in to show them how to do something on the computer. But it's a necessity because that's exactly where we're at right now in this environment. Technology is the thing.
That's true. I tell you, my youngest son at 3, he was doing something on a computer, and we thought he was going to be doing some jibber-jabby, and he started to produce sentences. And I'm like, wow, where did you get that from? You know, had to be me. Couldn't be your mother. Had to be me, you know. You know, it's just incredible. It's incredible. And I'm telling you another thing. It was so funny. I took my same son. I think it was 3 years at the time, going on 4 or something. We went to a Japanese restaurant, and, you know, they had the chopsticks and everything. I don't eat with chopsticks. I wasn't skillful with chopsticks myself. Didn't know how to do it, my wife and I. And he started to do it. And the Japanese people were there with the cameras and everything because they were tourists from Japan, and they were so shocked. Because they noticed that my wife and I wasn't using it, and the kid was using it at 3 years old by himself. And they're like, oh, how much of a job? How you said that? You know, and my son became a celebrity. I'm saying, well, anybody wants to buy this kid? You know, I'm just kidding. You know, it was incredible. It was incredible. And I told my son the other day, I said, I wish you would have kept up that, you know, that chopstick thing, you know. Oh, man, you know.
Exposure is everything, man.
Yeah, definitely. So people, you know, generally,
we here at the Black Billionaires Network Club, and you know, and people say to me, "Oh, Beck, oh, everybody's a billionaire." No, but you can have that can be a focal point. That can be something that one wants to achieve. There's nothing wrong with good people being rich. You know, I always say the wrong people got all the money. You know what I'm saying? Or,
as I well, well, you know, it's the old saying, good people do good things and bad people do bad things with it. It doesn't get any simpler
than
that.
Exactly, exactly. And so we need to get more good people with to get their hands on the money so they can do good things. And so, you know, a part of everything, people, is to start somewhere, you know, at your level. Everybody's at different levels. People have been doing – some people have been doing this for years and years and years. Herb has been in this for God knows ever. He's 100 years old now. He probably has 75 years of you know, but I'm saying everybody got to start somewhere, people. Start your children early. If you have not been doing it, there's so many networks out there. Another thing, Herb, which is wonderful, there's so many places to get free information. YouTube is just a help me. You know, you can learn everything. You can learn how to put a oil into a car, whatever you want to learn. You know, YouTube is just fantastic. And if you want to learn anything, people, I would just say Google it and go on YouTube and learn it, you know, and it's free. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. I mean, that's a good point. And a lot of this is also, you know, by association. My wife is, you know, she was an educator, you know. So, you know, when I met her, you know, again, I was self-employed. So she, you know, she's like, hold up, you don't have a job? And so the gentleman that introduced me, the guy that introduced me to her, seeing an ad that I had in the paper and to do business, and he brought some people with me to the office, and we did some commerce, and he says, "Hey, I got a young lady I want you to meet," and you know, we started dating, and she's like, "Hold up, no, here's what I do," because one thing you have to be strong minded, strong will, and anybody that's close to you, definitely you need their support. It doesn't necessarily have to be financial, but you may need their moral support, you know.
Right.
But the last thing you don't want to do is be banging your head against the wall with somebody that don't believe in what you're doing, you know.
Right.
And so that is important about your alliances and who you're with, you know, because birds of a feather flock together. You know, and you just want to make sure that you're staying in the right environment, and that right environment keeps you in the right mindset, you know.
Right.
And when people go to ask for something, they know who to go to ask for, you know, depending on what your skill set is, and you move accordingly. That's why I was so disturbed when the young lady made the negative comment about the Black Wall Street, you know, because somebody's doing something. You're sitting here criticizing this place because it doesn't look like you want it to look like or what you expected, but you know, but you're not doing anything, you know.
Exactly.
And really, the place is laid out. I mean, it's like I said again, I can see within the next year or two, these structures, these facilities, be all over the country, you know, because it's been a main. Yeah, it's been a great opportunity for our people, especially here. I mean, people all over Georgia, all over, just been coming there just to take a look at it and see the commerce thriving amongst each other, because our people spend money, period.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Oprah did a commencement address at one of the Black female universities,
right.
And she said, "You know something, young lady." She said, "Everybody's not going to be your rooting section. Every time you make a hit, there's people in your surroundings, there's people in your circle. They're not your cheerleaders. They're not supportive of you. Your achievements is not going to be a happy moment for them." You know, a lot of them going to take it and say, you know, she said you can achieve whatever it is, and somebody going to say, "Oh, she thinks she's too cute."
or she thinks she's better than everybody, or she's high yellow, or she got long hair.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. Right.
She said you have to realize that fear that will not, whatever the deal is, there are people
right.
who are jealous.
That's
they
right.
can't achieve things themselves, and instead of going into a group where they feel comfortable, they rather go somewhere where they can criticize and try to, you know, nitpick. And I told a young lady one time, I said, well, you know something, young lady, everything that you have said to me, it tells me that you're not comfortable with you and you're not willing to let me be comfortable with me. You want to be uncomfortable and you want me uncomfortable as well. But you can't just go be uncomfortable by yourself. You have to take me with you, you know. And you're like, what? You know? I said, let me say that again, you know. But that's
right.
the way it is, you know. I got a brother, 2 years older than me, you know. And my mother would say to us, and I lost my mother a couple of years ago at 101 years old. My mother would say, you know, your guy's got to take together this, that, and the other. And my brother is this negative thing, you know. Everything is negative. Everything is negative. And he always said to me, he said, you know something? He said, as far as being an uncle and being a father, he said, I'll give you the Academy Award. I'll give you the award of the Father of the Year, the Uncle of the Year. He said, as far as a brother, he said, you know, I wouldn't give you an award. And I said, you know something? That's your perspective. You know, that's how you feel. I don't know what I have could have done any
right.
better as a brother. You know, when especially he and I, like, just like you said, I'm the entrepreneurial person. I'm the business person. My dad was a business person. My mom was a business person. We grew up in South Carolina in farming, which nobody never wanted to do, but you never saw it as business, but
yeah, right.
it is business. You know what I'm
hard
saying?
Hard work.
You want to pick cotton. Right. You might want to pick cotton and raise pigs and say, oh, my God, man, I'm having a good time here, you know. But I got into it, and I did it, and I was successful. He wanted to be a police officer, and he went to the highest level of that department that he could go, and he retired. But he still wasn't happy, you know what I'm saying? And he never tried to see my side of things, my way of living. He always said, oh, man, you know, just like you said, you know, you don't have a job, you know, you got kids, you should be working somewhere, and you should get insurance and, you know, buy a house and have all the things that people have that have children. But that wasn't, not that I didn't want all those things
right.
for my kids,
right.
not that I wanted
right.
to live
right.
in the suburbs and all that stuff, which I did.
Right.
And,
right.
But that lifestyle of 9 to 5, working for somebody, building their dreams, I didn't think of it. I know now they say you're building somebody's dream when you're working for somebody. I didn't look at it like that back in those days, but I wasn't comfortable working for people, knowing and looking and seeing they're making X amount, but they're paying me a percentage, a very small percentage. You know, I work day and night, 16 hours a day sometimes, and I'm making them all of this, and they're paying me such a small portion when I
right.
could be doing that for myself, because I'm the one that drove the deal. I'm the one sat down and wrote the deal. I'm the one negotiate the deal. I'm
gotcha.
The one that brought the
gotcha.
Deal from beginning to end, and you're
right.
paying me pennies. And I'm saying to myself, no, I don't need this, you know. And a
right.
lot of people say, well, you know, at least you're not responsible for the light and gas and the this and the that. You know, you can get that check every Friday. You know, that's not for me, though. That wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And,
no, that boy, you said a mouthful there, brother, you know, which really comes down to also your mate. Because if you're not unified in that environment, especially if you know, my wife, again, she's an educator, and so that was her prerogative. But fortunately, you know, I was self-employed when I met her, so it
right.
you know, she didn't have a choice. Either you like the guy, you don't like him, but you know, it she never, you know, she never pushed me, never negative, and just was, you know, 100% support, and her mother was even a bigger supporter. Yes, I mean, her
wow.
mother worked for me for, I mean, you know, so when we moved here to Georgia, you know, we found a big enough piece of land and house to, we had a guest house, and I'm like, no, your mother. And so it was ideal because her mother, you know, her mother-in-law is like my mother. you know, and, you know, mm-hmm. now she's retired, you know, from Sears, been down here 15 years with us, and she's in the guest house, you know, and mm-hmm. that lady got her first nickel that she ever made. I've seen people that I've seen people, you know, I'm kind of transparent, man. I got into a jam one time financially, and, you know, and so when she was working for me, she, you know, we've came very close other than just, you know, the mother-in-law and the son-in-law, you know, we just became real close.
Right.
So when we moved and everything, and she said, son-in-law, she said, you got that look on your face. She said, and I know you're dealing, you're juggling a lot of stuff. And she says, you know, I know you, she said, the spirit tells me you need some money. And mm-hmm. I said, Ma, and she says, I know you're prideful and everything. And she said, give me a couple of minutes, you know. And she came down and gave me an envelope, you know. And I'm mm-hmm. like, Ma, you know, about $15,000 in the envelope.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
And she said, and listen, she said, son-in-law, do what you got to do. She said, working for you, you have no idea what you did for me. Just working for you and see how you move and see what's possible. And you know, and we're so close. I mean, it's just
beautiful.
Unbelievable. Until I heard her story, you know, and how she was an orphan. And, she is a survivor, man. But, you know, the lady, I mean, she must have saved $300,000 or $400,000. I mean, literally, you know.
Wow.
Yes, an amazing individual. But, you know, and that's another thing, us supporting each other.
Yes.
You know, we got to to support each other, you know, and that's where the character comes in, and because you got to be in alignment with truth, you know. And so, you know, some people sell their souls for $2, you know.
Amen.
And it causes you relationship, causes you time, causes you energy that you can't regain back.
Yes.
You know, so
yes.
it's a blessing. You know, just to, and then being able to not only uplift somebody, but, you know, not just also to encourage them. You know, I get another guy's called me. No, man. You told me you need so-and-so. I'm listening to you. Okay, bye. Good. I got a group of people. We're going to invest in your business, you know?
Wow.
And so it's, these relationships are so important. And I don't take none of this for granted, even yourself, just being on the call. And I mean, I could go back 30 years with you. Easy.
Yes.
I mean, it's got to be at least that long that I've known
easy.
You.
Easy.
At least. So,
and
you know
something about you and I? You and I have contacted each other. We have connected. We have met and sat down and had tea together. And
right.
It's just like we never, you
right.
know, it's like I, you know, some people you have to try to catch up, you know.
Right,
well, you
right.
know what happens to you now, you know. It's
right.
like when I'm with
right.
you, man, it just flows so natural. It's not like we have to
right.
try to catch up with
right.
all what happened 10,
right.
15, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
It just flows.
Yeah.
And that's the spirit. You know, that's the spirit of Christ in both of us. In the Bible, the tri-spirit, body, spirit. And there's no separateness, and there's no foreignness, and there's no strangeness, and there's no trying to
right.
get to square one, you know. So it's just like, man, it's natural,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
And people can go online also and look at the Black Wall Street because, you know, you can see the way it's set up and everything. And I know for a fact this thing is going to blow up all over the country because people are coming, you know, a lot of people come to visit, a lot of them because we got a growing population here in Georgia. And that's a main area where he's at in Stonecrest, Georgia.
Right.
But and he's only been, I tell people they don't understand. He just opened. It's only been a couple of months, you know.
Wow.
Now people are coming. They, you know, they want to sit down with him and ask him, you know, literally that place rented out in like 48 hours. Every vendor, everything was taken in 48 hours.
Wow.
I was like, what? So the only thing he has.
Timing is so important. The timing for that is so important because that's what the soul of our people for all these years been looking for. And his timing was impeccable. You know, it's just
especially in the South.
A blessing.
Especially in the South.
Oh, man. Oh, man. And Georgia.
That's a statement.
You know. Yeah, man. Yeah. Talk about the right place,
and
the right time, and the right moment.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's growing.
Wow.
That's why I said, in every way I go, I talk to people about the spot because, you know, like I said, now, you know, people are looking at other cities are now, other people have heard about it, and so they're flying down to come there and you know, not just shop, but look at the concept, you know, because, you know, it's a statement when you put something like that there. And one thing about
Amen.
The people, they're all supportive. The people come and support those vendors.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
And I mean, they got one young brother there out of New York, and he owns a sneaker. So, I mean, what this guy did, the way he had that store set up, it was phenomenal. I mean, and he must got 200 pairs of different types of sneakers. And he's a young man.
Wow.
And he's killing them. I mean, I had no idea how much sneakers cost until I see the price tag. But people are the young people. I mean, they love jazzy stuff. They love color.
Yeah.
You know, it's just phenomenal.
My youngest son got into trading sneakers internationally, and I'm telling you,
really?
I've heard as high as $1,500 to $2,500 for a rare sneaker that just came out by somebody. You know, now what they're doing is they're making them in the name of these professional sports people. They're using top-level artists, you know, and I never knew sneakers could cost $1,500, $2,500. And my son said, "Yeah, once you get the rare one, you can put it on eBay or you put it on Amazon. You put it in one of these social media places, and you sell it. You know, you buy it for $600, and you sell it for $1,500. You know, it's crazy.
Well, you know what
you
they
know,
say.
But people are buying.
There's a price for everything.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a market. Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that subject up because a lot of people haven't, you know, the word is just getting around about this Black Wall Street. And I mean, and so you just got, you know, people call themselves, they come to visit and they wind up spending a ton of money there, you know, and then they tell the neighbors. And so it still is in its infancy stage. And so, you know, a lot of people have not heard about it, even here. You know, but now they just, you know, they got now somebody that's got a busload. They bring a busload, especially on a Saturday. Like a Saturday, you can, like tomorrow, you couldn't get in tomorrow. I mean, that's how packed.
Yeah, you know,
that's how Saturday
you know,
people
were
off work.
Yeah. And, you know, there were documentaries done. They are living people. Dr. Oliver, one of the ladies that lived it, was there when 5 years old when it happened, and you know, she's still living, 95 years old, and she's you know, she's an educator herself, and you know, got a PhD, and she just remembered the stories, she remembered the news reports, she remembered when the whole thing happened, and she was so surprised how they tried to turn it around and make, you know, the blacks look like they had started the trouble and this, that, and the other. And, you know, so with that whole documentary came on other things as well. Other things were exposed as well in terms of the displacement, the marginalization, the political, the social, and economic, the poverty of our people. And so it opened up a whole, you know, Pandora box of things. And that generated such a tremendous interest. I never heard so many people say we need to rebuild. Not like this gentleman who took it by the physical,
right,
you know, hands,
right,
and did it. But there were so many brothers and sisters saying, you know, from the youngest people to the oldest people saying, you know, we got to get this back together again. Not having direction and a map and all that stuff, but having desire to do it. For this brother to come out at this period of time and get that done, you know, that's just God's timing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not old. He's pushing 80 years old, you know.
Wow.
But he knows where all the bodies at here, man. I mean, the guy, you know, again, he's worth a couple of $100 million. I mean, you know, but his heart is in the right place. He's not boisterous, and, you know, he just wants to help people, you know. And I tell him, I always tell everybody, the only way you make money is helping somebody. I don't
Amen.
Care what your gift is.
Amen.
You just applied your gift, but you got to help somebody if you want to make some money, whatever venue
you
that you're offering. But it's exciting. It's really exciting. In fact, I can't wait to go to this jazz thing tomorrow, because this is the first time that they have actually a function there. They're actually having a function
wow.
there, and this is the first show they're doing. They got some other things that are going, you know, coming there. But the guy's show, he sold out, and he had to open up. He had to do two shows because he only had a 2 o'clock
wow.
show, and then he had to do a 7 o'clock show because the tickets sold out in like 2 days. You know,
wow.
And so once this venue is, I mean, so now and then every Sunday, and what people don't understand, it takes money to make money. This gentleman is investing hundreds of thousands a week because he's got people coming in. He's got a jazz band that about 7 or 8 people, and they come
wow.
Sunday, and they're Sunday from like 2 to 6 or 7 o'clock. And I'm
wow.
a jazz fanatic, but the jet,
okay.
they are off the chain, the place. And so I tell my wife, well, like this Sunday, you probably ain't going to be able to get in there in that spot, you know, because they're opening
wow.
scene and they're going to be in the new facility inside of it. But, I mean, just unbelievable. So he investing a lot of money
wow.
just to
wow.
get the place exposed. His thing now is to
see,
expose
thing,
the facility.
One other thing, too, is that, you know, you got creative-minded people. You know, he just doesn't have a physical place, but he got creativity going on, and that's what
right.
draws attention. You know what I'm saying? You guys got some great creativity, some great activities for the community. You know, you got all the things, you know, most consumers in America want, you know, out of a, you know, the mall. When they talk about the mall itself, the concept, when they came up with the concept of building the mall with all the
right,
stores
right,
inside
right,
and everything,
right.
they did not know that would be more effective than mainstream. Remember, every America had a mainstream with all the stores and everything. You
right,
know, remember that
right,
you know,
right.
years ago. But when the malls came up, it unfortunately, it took all of the revenue away from
right.
mainstream. You know, and all the stuff. Everybody said, "Wow, malls is the lights, the structure, the go to eat, sit down, listen to music." You know, that whole entertainment thing. People would spend their whole Saturday at malls. You know, and it became a tremendous moneymaker, you know. And so and I'm thinking about what he's doing. He's encompassing so many creative ideas because it encompasses everything that people want. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It has all
right.
of the ingredients of a good day out. You know what I'm saying? You can just go there and spend hours and just enjoy yourself, you know.
And that's what he said that. Because I'm not a drinker, but he's probably got, there's about 5 venues there of people, you know, that sell drink. I had no idea how much liquor costs, you know. And I'm like, hold up. I'm seeing that people spend $10, $15 for a glass of wine, and it'd be a line. I mean, it'd be like 2 lines, and this is like a portable bar thing. And people be lined
wow.
up, and they got like 3 or 4. And so when he did the wine testers last week, he must have had every major wine company there. And I mean, they were
wow.
from the time you came to the door all the way in the back, they were just giving away free samples and
And it was a good way to get their name out to the people. But it's just, like I said, it's a statement. And one thing about our people, we're very visual. We're visual people. But when you're in there, you can just feel the camaraderie. You can feel the unity. And like I said, again, like today was probably packed. I mean, because the last couple of Saturdays, you couldn't get in there. I mean, it was just because people are just hearing about it and they're just coming up and seeing it. The whole place was rented. Like when he was open, he may have about 10 spaces left in there still have not been rented, but they're under construction. They already got the name of the company that's going to be there, but they're all under construction. That's why I was impressed because I had no idea how people. When I seen the paintings, and it was great for the guys that were selling paintings because black art sells. And these guys, they sell the print there. I mean, these guys sell the print for like $30, and they sell anywhere 50 to 150 prints. Once you see the big picture, you know if you're not going to buy it right on site with the frame, and they selling the prints, and it's amazing. And they still logistically trying to work a few things out.
Wow.
And how they got the place, but you know, overall, it's just a great environment, man. You can feel the camaraderie, there when, and especially, like I said, you know, over the weekend, it just comes there, that door just continues. He put a lot of money. I mean, he spent a lot of money because you got to remember it was a Sam's Club, and that conversion was costly.
Wow.
You know, but it's like anything else.
I don't want to cut you off, but the time is we're at the end here now, and we had a tremendous conversation about Black Wall Street, and just tell us where we can go look at. You know, people can go Google it, actually, and go see it online.
Yeah, 8109 Stonecrest Parkway in Stonecrest, Georgia. It'll give you a visual because you can go on the website and look at it.
Okay, great. Well, it's been a pleasure, and it's been such a wonderful experience tonight. We were discussing Black Wall Street and business opportunities. So we want everyone to tune in next week, and we'll be together here. Thank you so much for coming on, Herb, and I look forward to talking to you again as well.
Guys, hey, I hope the audience, everybody, have a blessed weekend.
Amen.
Thanks, Brian. Have a blessed weekend.
Famine and diseases, you're the blame.
use this. I believe the children still the future. I believe a God who renews us. I believe if he parted seas, this disease gotta bow to the ruler.
So many young cops are dying from the head of disease.
Everybody should be in love. loving everywhere. Couples sitting there all cuddled up, whispering sweet words in each other's ears. Who knows what they're talking about? Cause only they know, yeah. Maybe they're talking about getting married and raising a family. It just looks so sweet. It just looks so sweet. Couples in love. I just love to watch
people
at a distance shake
in love.
A love of my own, but I lost it. Maybe I took it for granted, but now I'm searching for a new love. Yeah, I guess I get a little jealous sometimes when I see people in love, cause I wish it was me. Yeah, and that's why I'm searching to find some new love, cause everybody needs love. Cause when you got love, y'all, you got power. Everybody should be in love.